Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. It is Thursday morning, January 2nd, 2025. Happy New Year. I am in Studio B alongside Mike Elam, who is filling in for Chris Ranji. Mike, I filled him in that Ranji likes to go to Chicago to visit his family, the wife and kids, where he lives in a brownstone and is a Republican mega donor. So that's where Chris Ranji is right now. So Mike Elam is generously agreed to sit into Studio B with me. Hey, if you are listening on 1120 AM, you might want to check out the FM signal, 98.7 FM. It's a great sound, especially along the 40 corridor. Even better is the Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go, whether you're working out at the gym, working outside in the yard, you're on a boat, maybe. Maybe you're at the Lake of the Ozarks. You can listen to us there on the Odyssey app. We'd love to hear from you. And there's a really cool feature on the Odyssey app on the KMOX page. Right in the middle is a little microphone icon. You can leave us a voice message. I like to think that it is solely the Chris and Amy Show voice message feature. It doesn't necessarily say that, but I like to think that it's ours. We would love to hear from you. You can also call or text 314-436-7900.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Yeah, just an awful terror attack in New Orleans, killing at least 15 people. The suspect was killed in a shootout with police. He has been identified hours later. There was a Cybertruck explosion in front of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. In just a minute, we will be talking with Anna Schechter. She's the CBS Crime Beat leader for CBS News. Also, locally, Gabe Gore is now St. Louis City's circuit attorney after being sworn in yesterday. Meanwhile, there's still a battle going on in St. Louis County for the county prosecutor, as both Governor Parson and Sam Page have made their nominations for who should be county prosecutor. I believe that decision continues today as Wesley Bell officially steps down. And the Blues, well, they beat the Chicago Blackhawks 6-2 in the Winter Classic at Wrigley Field on New Year's Eve. They are now the only team in the NHL to be 3-0 in Winter Classics. There are a couple of 2-0 teams, but the Blues, good on them, 3-0 in the Winter Classic. All right, just getting now to Anna Schechter. Here's what we know. Two deadly incidents rattled the country yesterday. As I mentioned, at least 15 people were killed and dozens were injured when a pickup truck plowed into a crowd on Bourbon Street just after 3 a.m. in New Orleans. And the FBI is calling it an act of terrorism. They've identified the suspect as 42-year-old Texas man and Army veteran. He was killed in a firefight with officers. There was an ISIS flag in his vehicle. And we've also found now that the suspect made videos before the attack in which he said he joined ISIS. Now, hours later in Las Vegas, there was a deadly explosion of a Tesla Cybertruck outside the Trump International Hotel. The driver was killed. Seven others were injured. Officials are still investigating whether it, too, was an act of terrorism. And they're also investigating whether or not there's a possible connection between the two incidents. And so now we bring in Anna Schechter, who's covering crime and public safety for CBS News. Anna, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Happy to be here.
So right now, with the two attacks, is there any belief that these attacks are related in any way?
Well, there are some interesting coincidences, but nothing definitive that connects them. The two things that overlap are that both men, the attacker in New Orleans and the renter of the Cybertruck that exploded in Las Vegas, both used the same app, the Turo app, to rent their respective vehicles. That's one, but Turo is a popular app. So It's possible that that's a coincidence. It's possible it's not. Separately, they both overlapped in Afghanistan, serving tours overseas in the military. The renter of the Las Vegas vehicle was actually stationed in Germany and was on leave for a few days over the New Year holiday to visit his family. And the New Orleans attacker, separately, he had a long career in the military working in IT. He had a steady job at Deloitte, a consultant firm, making a good salary, according to records from his recent divorce in 2022. So this was a professional person, but nevertheless had money troubles, had reported that he was tens of thousands of dollars in debt. So we're putting together profiles of both men. The largest indicator of a connection to terrorism, of course, on the New Orleans side, is the ISIS flag that was attached to the back of the truck. So investigators homed in on that immediately and, of course, are interviewing everyone that he might have known, his community in Houston, family, any associates. So that is underway. Their working theory is that he was somehow radicalized in recent years. Still, so many questions remain. And like I said before, we don't have a definitive link between the two incidents.
And it's Mike. Thanks for joining us this morning. Is there any link that anybody's talked about? I just found it strange that both of them were using electric vehicles. And I thought of all the vehicles that are out there, what are the odds that they're both going to use these electric vehicles?
It's a great question. An electric truck is relatively unusual. And so we are asking the same questions and trying to get answers. Was this somehow coordinated? And were both men trying to rent electric vehicles to make a point? Lots of questions, not a lot of answers right now, but we are certainly pursuing these lines. We're being very careful because we don't want to speculate that there was a correlation or a joint planning before we actually know that that's the case.
Going to New Orleans, we know this 42-year-old man, he rammed the truck into the crowd. But is it that authorities are still looking for more suspects? They believe he did not act alone. More explosive devices were found and then taken care of by authorities later on that morning in New Orleans. Where are we with those other suspects and how many people they might be looking for?
Well, that's a great question, because our sources were telling us that there was a video that investigators were reviewing that showed between 3 and 5 people that they thought might be dragging explosive devices or parts of explosive devices, and they assumed that these were potential accomplices. That was a dead end for investigators, and they now have cleared those individuals. So while they were very certain in their statements, even this morning, that there were accomplices, other people working with the attacker in New Orleans, they don't have anyone specific. They don't have any suspects. Now, the current head of the police, this police superintendent in New Orleans, said this morning publicly that there were persons of interest. But the FBI is identifying those people, talking to them. So far, according to what we have been told, no one has been elevated from, a person of interest to a suspected accomplice at this time. So it's unclear. And there's so many fast moving parts. It was in the early hours that they were initially really talking a lot about accomplices. Now they're planning to have a football game this afternoon at 4 p.m. and they still don't know where the accomplices are. Mm-hmm. It is not yet definitive that there are specific people that helped him carry out this attack in New Orleans specifically.
As we start to learn more about who these two people are, we're hearing an awful lot about the personal life of the New Orleans attacker. Just went through a recent divorce, has three kids, lost his job, was basically living in a mobile trailer. His life really looked like it had made a bad turn, and the parents evidently, his ex-wife and her husband had asked that he be removed from the children. I haven't heard that type of background story so far on the Vegas attacker. Do we know anything more about his personal life?
Well, we do. We know that he was married and had an 8-month-old daughter, according to his family. We've spoken to his father. They had a call on Christmas. He was acting normally by all accounts to those that he was interacting with around the holidays. He was, as I said, home on leave for the holidays. The people we've talked to say there was absolutely no indication of any erratic behavior.
And are they currently investigating his online presence, social media presence, to see if there were any signs of radicalization, any signs of a connection to a terrorist organization like ISIS?
Well, the FBI is working with local law enforcement in Las Vegas, and certainly they had to identify that, you know, the person who rented this vehicle, they're still pinning down, is that the DNA of the person found in the car. They believe it to be, but they have not definitively pinned that down. They probably will have that any minute now because DNA samples were sent to a crime lab for testing. We know that his home in Colorado Springs, the FBI was there. They had to seek a warrant. Some of that takes a little bit of time, but our understanding is that the FBI have visited that home. And generally, when these investigations play out, computers, electronic devices are obtained and scrubbed by the FBI. And that is a key part of the investigation, to look at social media, online activity, looking for any signs of radicalization or any kind of extremist groups. Those are big questions that investigators will be asking.
And I know we got to let you go, and still so many questions, but I know people's minds are going towards Washington, D.C., the inauguration taking place in a couple of weeks here. Just some high profile events. Former President Jimmy Carter lying in state. What kind of security measures are being taken right now in the nation's capital?
Even before these two incidents, this attack and then the explosion in Vegas, we were in a heightened threat environment. Just over the summer, there was an assassination attempt on former President Trump's life at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. Even before that, you had nation state threats from Iran and elsewhere. So we've been in a heightened threat environment. We are now in an even higher threat environment, unfortunately. And so you have security officials, they are on high alert, and they are doing what they're doing. They are ramping up. They were already ramped up. There are only so many people that you can add, but as many as they can, they certainly are. For all of these very high profile events, I think as President Carter lying in state, we have a big event on Saturday for that. And then really looking ahead to the inauguration on January 20th, that is a big day, you know, especially just 4 years ago, look at what happened at the Capitol. So they're going to be on high alert for multiple reasons, trying to guard against multiple potential threats.
Anna Schechter, leader of the CBS Crime Beat on CBS News. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Of course.
Amy Markscores, Mike Elam with you. This is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.